Enes Kanter joins us, center for the New York Knicks. Enes, thanks for doing this. When we first learned we were having you on, I was like, yeah, the guy's doing a lot of media these days. Is he selling something? They're like, no, he just likes doing this. What's up with that?
I know. Hey, we've been all over, man. It's been amazing because I'm actually having fun. You know, I'm having fun with all this media. Not a lot of, you know, players like the media, but hey, I'm cool with him from the day one. They love me. I love them. So we're going to have a really good relationship with them.
Yeah, it's wild, though. Like, do you have an end game here? Like, we were just talking to PK Subban on the other side about some NBA players starting podcasts and clearly having some sort of an angle into doing media afterwards. Like, I know CJ McCollum has one and Danny Green now has one. And JJ Redick, of course, I think might have even been the first active NBA player to start one up. Do you have plans on doing something like that? Like, what do you want to do with media? Just this kind of stuff?
Why not? I mean, maybe in the future, but I need to get the English right, man. You know, sometimes they don't understand my accent. So I need to work on my English first before I get in the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's great for guys like us because with maybe not 100% English, you might say something that you're like, wait, was I supposed to say that? Was that too far? I'm kind of hoping for that during this interview.
Hey, I can always blame my English, you know? So if I say something wrong, I can't blame more the English always.
I was going to say, that's actually a really good excuse to always have, though, is that the PR guy comes to you from the Knicks. He's like, Enes, why did you say this? You're like, I didn't know what he was asking. I wasn't really sure. I thought that meant something else.
Yeah, it is great. It's a great excuse.
You're right, man. I can't. It's awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you're not going to lie about it. All right, so we'll try and set these traps. I mean, ask these questions, and then we'll see how you respond. So DeMar DeRozan has...
let me see what you got.
DeMar DeRozan upset with this organization after being traded out of town. Did you think he was justified in being upset that he felt like he was misled, that he felt like this organization owed him something, having spent this much time with the Toronto Raptors?
Man, I feel really sad about that trade because, I mean, DeRozan obviously one of the world, you know, the most respected guy in NBA. And I heard, I think, like the organization told him, we're not going to trade you in the summertime. And then a couple of months later, they traded him. It just, that shows that, you know, there's no loyalty anymore. You know, he was one of the most loyal guy in the whole league. And then what happened to me was just pretty sad. And then you cannot... There was like him and Collar was like best friend. You cannot break that friendship, man. That hurt me too. So it was. I was really sad about that trade.
Well, you're a really popular teammate of guys as well because of that, as like that too, right? You're a loyal teammate. You're a guy that seems to value that. Of course, someone that has been known to be, you know, chirping from the bench at other guys, certain guys that may have left town. That you know may not have had the like best way of leaving a franchise. So I can understand how you feel that way. But ultimately, like, don't you feel like the league is heading more in this direction? Like, I felt like the Isaiah Thomas, like those two summers in a row where you have a guy like Kevin Durant leaving a city that had just lost to a rival, and like that's a player showing a lack of loyalty, and then it's like player decision, and then the Celtics end up moving Isaiah Thomas after he plays on one hip essentially and craters his free agent value. Like I feel like it's more so like that it's a less loyal league than it's ever been before.
Like you said, man, I agree 100%. You know, back in the day it wasn't like that, but now it's like everything, just because of the organizational changing, the players has to change. Because there's no loyalty left, you know. But I think, I'll stay loyal to my team and my teammates, man. You know, whatever I play or whatever they trade me, you know, I'll be thankful for that team that, you know, spent all this time on me. But I think the most important thing, man, you know, now there's no, like you said, there's no loyalty left. So most important thing, man, just don't let nothing change you. Keep being you, you know.
So we're going to get back to basketball in just a second, but, you know, we're doing our research on you, looking at your Twitter account, and you have almost 500,000 followers, but you're only following 10. But what a cast of characters that you are following on Twitter. Like, I get it. You're following the Knicks. You're following KP, Kristaps Porzingis, some of your former teammates, Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, Manny Pacquiao. I guess you're a big boxing fan. But Ken Jeong and Ben Stiller. Like, why Ken Jeong and Ben Stiller? Or do you follow those guys and then you just stop following people?
I'm very good friends with Ben. I'm going to have a lunch with him soon. And Ken is, I mean, I texted him one day because, like, I saw this guy this Asian guy follows me on Twitter. I'm like, okay, he got 1 million followers. I clicked on it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's Mr. Chow. He follows me. I followed him back. I messaged him. I was like, hey, big fan, sir. And then he actually messaged me back. And I said, no, I am big fan of yours. I'm like, whoa, okay. So he's going to come to New York in like around 2 weeks. So I'm gonna have a meeting with him. So I'm very excited about it. Super nice guy, and it's gonna be an awesome day.
That's one real advantage of being in New York, right? Is that if you want to reach out to a celebrity and invite somebody to a game, like that's a real possibility. How did you become friends with Ben Stiller?
Well, he comes to our games a lot. You know, he comes to the Knicks game. So one day we won a game. I can't remember which one we won a game. And then after the game, after the huddle, I went up to his son and gave him my arm sleeve. And then his son was freaking out. I'm like, this is awesome, because I'm like, I'm taking a picture with Ben Stiller. That's like, that's crazy. And then, you know, and then I texted him on Twitter. You know, we exchanged numbers. Now I'm like, he's one of my best friends. He's a very cool dude.
I got to say, though, I hate taking pictures with basketball players. And the reason is, like, you know, we had Clyde Drexler here the other day, is for someone like, so I'm 5'10", and I don't think of myself as a short person. Like, I never do. And then I see a picture of me next to guys like you. Like, you're a footer, right? Like, you're exactly 7 feet?
I'm around 6'11".
Okay, 6'11". I stand
close
next to you. And then when I see those pictures, I'm like, that can't possibly be what it looks like, and it is.
It
hurts. Like, it's really not a fun picture. And I think Ben Stiller is a pretty short guy too, so I'm guessing, like, maybe he doesn't have that one like framed in his house.
He's an awesome, amazing dude, though. I mean, I met him, very super nice guy. You know, I'm excited to meet him again.
Okay, so back to basketball, sort of, kind of, for a second. Spending time in the Western Conference, you saw the Spurs a lot. Have you ever heard Kawhi Leonard speak? Like, does he speak on the court? Because we still haven't heard from him in Toronto, and when we start playing, like, I don't know if we're going to hear from him then. Have you ever heard him utter a word?
See, like, this is crazy, because he was in the same draft year with me. So we've been in the league, we came to the league same year, 2011, and now it's going to be 2019 soon, and I have not hear that guy speak one time on the court. One time. Call him pick and roll, you know, charges, complain to the ref. Not one time. This guy is like a robot. He goes, plays basketball, and leave. I'm like, okay, that's super weird. I think that's his personality. You know, you cannot, I guess you can't do nothing about it.
Have you tried trash talking him?
I mean, he won't even say a word to me even if I try to trash talk to him.
Right.
So I was like, why waste my breath? You know, just move on, just talk to the next guy, not him.
I guess, but, like, you're not scared. Like, you went after LeBron last year. I've seen you talk trash to a lot of different guys.
Yes, I'm not. It's not like I'm scared or anything, but, like, why waste my breath? He's going to just look at my face and just keep walking. He's not going to talk or anything.
I love that it's just you giving up. I want to believe that there's one guy out there that's going to try. Like, that's going to try to get in Kawhi's head. Maybe it's a little different now, because I feel like at least now people have more ammunition with him leaving San Antonio. So Raptors, and let's pretend like the Knicks are in the conversation, just for you. Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference right now? Like, who's the team that you think now, Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors, who would you say, if you got to face them, or you got to pick one team, who's the best?
I think, you know, it's Toronto, of course, pretty out there. But if I had to pick one team, it would be Boston, man. I think, you know, if they stay healthy, I think they can take the East. They can take the East all the way, you know, because, I mean, if Gordon's going to be back, Kyrie's going to be back, they got Tatum and all those other young guys. So I think, you know, they can take it all the way and go for Gordon NBA Finals this year.
I mean, they better hope so, because otherwise Kyrie Irving's probably your future teammate.
Hey, either way, I would love to have him in my team, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
Very careful answer. Good job.
Very careful. See, there was one of the traps. we got around one of the traps.
I know.
The Ennis Kanter, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Kristaps Porzingis Knicks of 2019 and 2020. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? Hey, we wanted to get your thoughts
I got,
on,
I got, I got one more superstar, but I can't tell you who that is. I said it before in some other show. I have one more superstar, and he's strongly considering coming to New York. And he plays in the West. And I'm not talking about Kyrie. I'm not talking about Jimmy Butler. There's one more guy, but I can't say it right now because it'll break the internet. So I can't talk about it.
Yeah. I can't believe Kevin Durant is coming to New York as first reported on this show that KD is strongly considering.
Hey, I did not give any name, man.
No, you didn't. Wink, wink. Yes. Okay, well, you know what? Here's how we'll know. Or maybe we won't know. Whose side are you on in the McCollum KD beef?
Hey. I mean, first of all, let me say this. They are not doing nothing illegal. You know, the Golden State, it's not illegal. Super League is not illegal. You can build whatever you want to build. But it goes all back to Chris Paul trade.
The
league did not let that happen.
Yeah.
And now you see all the superstars, whatever, joining one team and trying to win a championship. It's kind of ruining the league because you can only tell who's going to win a championship or not, who's going to play the finals. But, you know, but again, they're not doing nothing illegal, so that's why I cannot say nothing about it.
Yeah, it's perfectly legal.
It's not
whether
illegal.
It's ethical or whether it's good for your legend.
Well, that's the thing for me is like, okay, yeah. So say you're DeMarcus Cousins and you go there and now you win a championship. And I don't even really blame Boogie because no one was really offering him a contract and the Pelicans offered him some money before, but then he hits free agency and he's like, hey, you know what? I might as well go there if all things are equal and no one's going to offer me any money anyways. But I can't think that when, you know, his career's over that we're going to look at that and be like, an NBA champion, DeMarcus Cousins. Like, no, man, like that's not how this is going to operate. We're not, some rings have different weights. They have different values. Like LeBron winning that first time in Cleveland, it means more than the rings he won in Miami. That first Golden State title it means more than every other Golden State title from here on out. In fact, every single one means less and less and less.
Definitely. I mean, it's good. Everybody wants it. That's why we play basketball, win a championship. That's what everybody fighting for. But like you said, man, the ring got different ways. But, you know, see what's going to happen this year. I'm super excited to see who's going to win the West.
I'm super excited to see what happens to your game as well. We've seen the Raptors big man, Jonas Valanciunas, he's added a three-point shot to his arsenal. Saw some videos of you throwing him out from beyond the arc. You only tried two last year. What's the over-under on attempts this season? What if I put it at 20? Am I going to hit the over on that?
I mean, hey, I met with Coach Fisdale back in the draft combine in Chicago around May, and then he told me, hey, we know you can score inside. Now, I want you to stretch the floor and start shooting threes. I'm like, whoa, okay. And then from that day, and now I've been shooting threes. I've been working on the game. You know, because every summer, you need to add one thing to your game. So I think this summer, that was my focus, you know, just add mid-range shots, three-point shots to my game. And I think I feel more comfortable. And if a coach gives you that much confidence, hey, I want you to go out there and shoot it. I'm like, okay. You know, I feel more comfortable there taking those threes now.
So I get that, and I understand having that in the arsenal. But let's face it, man, you're deadly on the low block. You're one of the deadliest post players in the NBA. Okay. Like, you have incredible footwork. You get guys dancing. You can rebound. Do you feel maybe like your game now, the way that the league is trending, that almost it's underappreciated because you can score. And if I'm employing you, sure, I want you to be able to shoot a three. But if I need a bucket from Enes Kanter, I'm asking him to get the ball on the low block and beat somebody down there. Yeah. I'm not asking you to shoot threes.
I think a little bit, like underappreciated. I think a little bit, but I think now the league is changing so much. You don't see guys play back to basket anymore. It's all about face up, pick and pop, shooting threes, trail threes. But I think, you know, like I said again, I mean, this is me. I know I can score the block, whatever. But now add that 3-point shot to your game, or add that face up in your game, and then every summer you can add one thing, and then you're gonna be a way different player. Because I mean, now the guys are coming into double teams and all that. So I think, for me to stretch the floor, I think it'll be a really nice thing.
How many guys and how often are people going to get in David Fizdale's ear with the making fun of him in that incredible post-game media conference and, you know, take that for data? Like, how often are guys going to give it back to David Fizdale because of his viral moment?
I think that was the best interview I heard from a coach.
Yeah.
Because it was amazing that he did not take nothing from the media, from nobody, from the NBA. I think that's how I felt, you know, because, and he's real like that. Because I met him, I'm like, okay, this is real. He is the type of coach, he tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And then I saw that thing back in the day when he was with Memphis. I'm like, whoa, okay, this is real. I think now that shows that how much character he got, and then he's changing the New York culture already. Mm-hmm. So I think it's gonna be fun to play for him.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say you're kind of in a tough spot too in terms of making fun of guys for viral videos after yesterday. What, 3-4 kids in a row hit threes right in your face? This is like all those kids. What type of basketball camp were you at? Those kids were like way behind the 3-point line and they drained every single one of them. I was like, is this doctored footage?
The kid who
runs up to you and just yells in your face, "You're trash." I was like, oh my god, that kid had some stones.
And so I mean, with my foundation, NS Canada Foundation, I visit like 17, 18, 19 states every summer. And just I hang out with thousands and thousands of kids. But that camp was in Houston. So I was like, all right, we'll go to Houston. So we did a basketball camp, and these kids were like Splash Brothers. See what they were shooting like almost in half court. I was like, okay, let's play one-on-one. But we start playing one-on-one, the guy hit a three first. Hit another three. And then, like you said, that kid, little kid, is not even 10 years old, maybe, came to my face and said, "You're trash." I'm like, oh my gosh, look, they're already talking trash. This is crazy. And then later that night, I saw that on ESPN. I'm like, oh no, people are gonna kill me on the social media.
Yeah.
It's awesome, though, just to see all these kids having fun, playing basketball. I think it's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're already a star in the league, but I mean, I feel like your offseason, maybe nobody's had a more popular offseason from a fan perspective than you. It seems like every day there's some viral video. How many Twitter followers have you picked up this offseason? Did you even pay attention to that?
I mean, you pay attention, but like, you know, because I got a lot of Turkey, from this, from that. I actually was going to do a basketball team in Canada, but all that passport issues I have, you guys probably know what's going on and stuff. So I had to cancel the camp. I'm like, okay, maybe next year.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. We've all seen the stories and we're glad to see you make it back to the United States. But yeah, hopefully. Is that going to impact you traveling to Toronto this upcoming season?
Oh no! I mean, I traveled the offseason last year,
right.
last season. It was fine, and it's amazing, man. Because Canada is a whole different country, man. That's why, like, I can't tell you how much I love Justin Trudeau. Like, he is my idol, man. You guys have no idea. I follow with almost everything because he is like the man. People be like, man, he's a good man. He represents the Canada in the right way. So, like, from now, I never have an issue with going into Canada or living in Canada. I was super, super cool.
Yeah, I didn't know how much you want to talk about that stuff, but obviously you were incredibly outspoken and at more personal cost than any of, like, the trivial stuff, right? Like, oh, Kevin Durant, CJ McCollum, we can joke about that stuff and, like, how that hurts their relationships or maybe their earning potential, but you had real cost for speaking out. Did that change anything for you, or are you still that guy?
I'm still that guy, you know. I'm still because, like, man, basketball, of course, important NBA, but I think, like, all the stuff going on in Turkey right now, back in my country, is pretty sad, man. Because, like, all those innocent people going through so many tough times, and it's just killing me because I'm the only one who can speak because I have the platform. You know, I use my voice, and I'm trying to be voice of all these innocent people. And then it's very sad that all these thousands and thousands of people are in the jail waiting for help. So wherever I go, try to talk to them, and thank you guys for giving me a platform to talk about it. It just makes me really sad because all I'm doing is just fighting for human rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and just you know, just fighting for innocent people, man. It's very sad that what's going on back in Turkey.
Is there anywhere you would recommend for people to start in terms of looking to research more into that or to donate? Like, is there any certain cause that you think is especially helpful?
I think there is a one page called, you know, I think TurkeyPurge.com. You can check it out, but it shows like the how much you know, people are like being going through, because there's all this like schools are shut down, all those dormitories, all those, you know, Turkey is the number one country in the world that put in journalists in the jail. Number one country, the most. And it's very sad because those are journalists, man. They do their job just because of they speaking out against the government or just speaking out against the president. You cannot just put the guys in a jail. And it's just very sad. I mean, I can see the numbers, turkeypurge.com. And you can see all the numbers, like how many people dismissed, detained, arrested. My dad was a genetic professor, and just because of all this going on, he got fired from his job. And it's very, very sad story, man. And you see, like, there is 319 journalists arrested, and it's the number one, the most in the whole world.
Like I said, like it's incredible what you've been able to do and what risk you've put yourself and your family at for that cause. And I think it's super, super admirable. And, of course, like I said, also, I think you've become a fan favorite of a lot of people this offseason. And we appreciate the fact that you're doing the rounds on media, and we'd love to talk to you again soon. And this was really great. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man, you're a great ambassador for the game. Thanks.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for giving me a platform to talk. I love Canada, man. Let's go.